Good evening, everyone. Welcome to New Realities on BBS Radio. I'm Zachary Fetter. This evening, I'm continuing a conversation that I began a few months ago about two particular trends in the spiritual landscape that have sort of slowly, softly, sweetly been blowing my mind. They've, in a way, been taking place for a number of years now, but really seem to be teetering on the edge of some sort of quantum leap, perhaps, into what, where, well, that's what we're here to find out. The first trend is that many spiritual leaders have begun coming together and forming larger groups, coalitions, forums, more than ever before. I mean, I sort of feel like every time I turn around, there's, you know, another one with another social media platform who are going to change the world once and for all, make that difference. If only I sign up, you know, and I do. Second trend is that many of them appear to be made up of individuals who, in my own mind, I'm calling the new spiritual professional, loosely. You know, and they have other terms. I mean, some of them are called integralists, some are evolutionaries. I think there are other names too, but I have a particular term for them for a reason that I see that they seem to have three main characteristics. The first is they're at an integral stage of development. Second is they have an experiential understanding of the, you know, ultimate non-dual nature of reality. And in a way, the big difference is that they work professionally to raise the bar of development outside the spiritual world. That's not to say they don't do it inside as well, but they also do it outside. And that's sort of key to this, because in that respect, they're sort of developmentally multilingual. They speak spirit, they speak corporate, government, private sector, in tonight's case, current affairs, as well as others. No need to box them into one. And so these new spiritual professionals are not just sort of working a day job and meditating at night or in a spiritual center preaching to a choir. They're actually informing the old world. They're being engaged by them on a professional level. And the more you look around, the more you sort of find them everywhere, as if it's like a spiritual jailbreak back to the old world by individuals who are sort of done with personal transcendence and now want global transformation. My guest tonight is the co-founder of Career Track Training, an international organization producing over 3,000 seminars annually. He has a master's degree in Indo-Tibetan Buddhism. He spent 3 years working alongside Ken Wilber developing the Integral Institute, Booyah. He is now the current head facilitator at Boulder Integral in Boulder, Colorado, where he facilitates the Integral Incubator, which is exactly what it sounds like, and I've heard excellent things about it. You basically bring your conceptual egg to them, and this team led by him will teach you how to sit on it so that when it hatches, something extraordinary emerges. Incidentally, the next one's taking place on the 27th of this month for 5 days, and I'll be asking him a little bit about that briefly at the end. He's also the co-host of The Daily Evolver, my personal favorite of his activities, where he covers current events through the integral lens, and might I say, you know, in a way that sort of makes Anderson Cooper look sometimes like he's doing a 240 as opposed to a 360. Jeff Saltzman, thank you so much for being with me. It's really a privilege to have you on the show.
Well, that was just beautiful. Thank you, Zachary. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you know, as I said, you know, what you do on the Daily Evolver, it's a great example. You're covering global current events with an integral lens from a place that's deeply informed by spirit. And yet you could go toe-to-toe with any commentator in the mainstream media, at least I think so. You know, you're a perfect field agent for spirit to parachute behind enemy lines. And and you're one of the many new spiritual professionals who are sort of returning to the world in much larger numbers, oftentimes being invited into the old structures in order to inform them about how to develop. So, I mean, from your mind, what's going on? And also, what does integral theory have to do with it?
Well, I think a lot's going on, and I think integral theory goes a long way to helping us understand it. And when you talk about, and I loved it, Zachary, I thought it was really beautifully put, is that it's actually happening everywhere. And there is indeed a new spiritual professional who's multilingual. And that's not about people working really hard and getting somewhere. In a sense, it is, because most of these people have, but it's actually more about spirit itself continuing to emerge. And this is the you know, basic story of Integral is that Integral is a creation story. It's a spiritual story which human beings need and resonate with. And this is one that actually accommodates science and says indeed that 13.7 billion years ago, something happened that created a continuum, an ever-expanding continuum of time and space that had this erotic quality of emergence where it wanted, and all of the stuff of it wanted, in a sense, to have sex with each other and create new, ever-increasing levels of complexity that we see through science as basically the evolutionary trail of stardust to planets to life to snails to monkeys to human beings. And so the evolutionary flow just continues in human beings. But at this point, in a sense, evolution is happening on the interiors in terms of consciousness and culture faster than it is in terms of the actual physical. And in a sense that both have always been happening. But what you see now is that in the human level of development, there's a move from, you know, we talk about modern consciousness, postmodern consciousness. There's a new structure of consciousness that is developing that is actually has an enormous capacity to see and be friends with the previous structures, and in so doing creates a more spacious reality. And I know I'm getting abstract and you can bring me back in a second, but just let me finish, is that there's one of the markers of integral consciousness is that we start identifying with a space within which these various perspectives are arising. And we have an ability to hold multiple perspectives. And that's when you're talking about people who are very deeply spiritually realized. And, you know, for them, it's not even about that. It's about taking that into the world. And this is just a natural new emergent that is arising. It's an amazing thing.
Hmm. Why do you think corporations are... Why have they woken up in I mean, one of the groups that splinters off of Integral was Stagan and Rand Stagan with his consulting group. And I've done some research. I love what they're doing. And they're one of a few. You know, there are a lot of people out there. I mean, Lynn Twist with her Soul of Money was one of, I think, the first, you know, to really go in and start talking about, you know, woo-woo things and experiments. That was one of the first that really impressed me, because I thought, how did they get through the gatekeepers? How did this language become translatable? And I think with Integral, it's gone quantum. You know, it's just gone to a completely different level. How do you think that, what's the key that allows these individuals and these structures to open the door and invite an Integral thinker in without feeling entirely threatened?
Well, one of the things about integral consciousness is that, as I said, integral consciousness is friendly to all previous structures. So, as one of the key integral theorists, Claire Graves, once said, integral is like a universal donor. So, it's in a way, people who are at an integral level of consciousness can work with everybody. I mean, they actually just naturally bend their antenna to the person they're with and can be fully there. And there's something that is, you know, just magnetic about that. And so that's one of the emergent qualities of integral consciousness, is that there's a magnetism to it, that other people are, you know, they relax, they're comfortable, they want to reveal themselves, they trust you. And all legitimate, you're trustworthy. I mean, in a way that, you know, is new in the cosmos, actually. This is the Big Bang continuing to evolve. And, you know, so, you know, when we talk about corporations, one of the great things about corporations and, you know, people who are actually charged with creating something in the world and actually moving the ball and not just thinking about things, is that corporations are very unsentimental and actually non-ideological, in the sense that if you look even at cultural evolution thus far, and the advent of women into the workforce, that was a huge thing. The 70s and 80s, there was a big revolution. It continued with gays and racial equality, and corporations led the way. And then there's not to say the corporations aren't deeply flawed and have, you know, many bad qualities that we need to look at, but these are the good qualities. And they do it because it's as simple as this. Companies that have women in power beat companies that don't. Companies that have racial integration are more successful and more capable than companies that aren't. So they win. Companies with gays win. That's so companies, in corporations, people then who come in with basically a spiritual view, an integral spiritual view, which is unsentimental and not tied to any one lineage, not tied to any one concept of spirit in a sense, but just recognizes that there is a spirit at work from the Big Bang on. I mean, there's something happening here. As Ken Wilber, one of the great integral theorists and a great teacher of mine, said, if you're going to have a spiritual view, or if you're going to have a worldview, you have to take into account that dirt got up and wrote poetry. And that is, you know, we need to pause there and realize that something's going on here. Dirt got up and wrote poetry. And we are being lived. We are alive in a cosmos that is alive and going somewhere. So, you know, that realization alone, with the shorn of all mythic, you know, stories about the Garden of Eden or the Sixth Caliphate, or, you know, all religions, all lineages have mythic stories that are, you know, important. And you know, from an integral view, they become great spiritual art and great founts of wisdom and spiritual succor. But integral itself just realizes that we are evolving creatures in an evolving cosmos. And that alone is a realization with a capital R that is stunning. And one of the most stunning things about it is that it doesn't exclude anything that human beings have already accomplished, from mythic stories, magic, rational, post-rational, postmodern, scientific, all of it can be included in this new story that is as spiritually enchanted as anything we've seen in the face of the earth, and more so because it's ever more true.
So what do you think's going to happen in the future in terms of, and when I look at Integral and I look at the people who've, you know, upgraded their operating system with it, for the most part in their spiritual, in the spiritual landscape, but obviously others through pretty much all the different areas have done the same. But in terms of the spiritual world, and let's say in terms of, let's throw in the religious word, do you, in a way, this the bar has really been raised. So what do you think is going to happen to, say, like the New Age, the rest of, you know, the other elements? And is it the same as, say, the way we look at progressive religion today, some of the, you know, luminaries and the fantastic individuals who are out there, in terms of what it does to traditional religion? You know, is Integral and the New Age analogous to progressive religion and traditional religion? And how do you see those flocks moving and morphing in the future?
Yeah, well, Integral would include progressive spirituality, and it would also include pre-progressive, that is, traditional spirituality. And let me just lay out a little bit of developmental structure just to help people understand. And I'll do this quickly, and it's simple enough. So, you know, we start out, early humans, we're in a magic world. And the whole world is enchanted, and there are spirits, and they're alive. And, you know, it's an interesting practice for those of us who are developmentally beyond that, to actually walk, take a walk through nature and have and pretend, just as a practice, that you don't know anything about it. You know, that you have no scientific knowledge of the trees and the sky and the water and the ecosystem and all of that, that you're actually just walking through nature. You'll get a taste of how nature immediately becomes alive and enchanted and full of spirit. So this was human beings for 99, probably, percent of human history. Eventually, we got more and more complex, and we developed into what we would call mythic structures, where human beings began to explain the world in terms of great myths of, you know, the Christian myth being that Jesus was born of a virgin and was God's son who was sacrificed in order to assuage God's sense of, you know, justice. And, you know, and every religion has one, including Buddhism, you know, please. You know, these ideas that Buddhism is somehow shorn of that is crazy. So anyway, we moved through the mythic stage, and then what happened to us about 500 years ago is that there was a new dawning of the idea that truth is not necessarily delivered through a book or a myth or a story, but truth is actually something that we can observe and perceive through our own senses, and we can use logic and rational reason and so forth. And this is the beginning of a new structure of consciousness that we will call rational or modern. And this has been the, in a sense, the religion of the last several hundred years in terms of the leading edge, at least. And that is that, you know, the world is known scientifically. And part of the price that we pay for those of us who have moved into a rational view is that we lose the enchantment of the world. The world is disenchanted. And that is a very big price to pay. And you realize why people in the world, like Muslim fundamentalists and indeed Christian fundamentalists and right-wing Republicans and all of the people that, you know, we sort of sniff at and in some ways demonize, you know, they actually have something that they don't want to lose. And but yet developmentally, in a sense, we need to lose our religion. And that's what happens as we move into rational. So for most of us, particularly people listening to the type of people listening to this show, they will have moved. Magic will have been their early childhood. Mythic is when they're Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and, you know, they're Dungeons and Dragons and good and evil and all of that stuff. That's, you know, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, you start moving into rational, all of that, you leave that behind, you get scientific and so forth. And for a lot of people, that's where it ends. There, most people on the planet are at rational or below. In fact, probably 80 plus percent of people, and the planet, that is, 70% of them are even pre-rational. So, but if we look at our Western cultures, United States and, you know, people in Britain listening to this, it's going to be, there's a new structure that comes online after modern, and it's postmodern. And that is a structure that is scientific, rational in a sense, but it realizes the limits of rationality, and it realizes the deadening disenchantment of rationality, even though rationality, of course, brings us all of the, you know, basically triples our lifespan and creates, you know, the indoors. You know? I mean, it's, there's no understating the fruits of modernity and irrationality and the scientific worldview in terms of creating material wealth. And, but, you know, you get a certain level of material wealth and, you know, suddenly you start, you know, your heart starts aching, you know, and you think, what the fuck? And, you know, a lot of people are in this sort of existential anxiety where they just have nothing except ideas. And, you know, rationality tends to collapse the interiors into the exteriors, and we tend to think of consciousness as some sort of artifact of synapses and neurons of our brain, and they're not real in a sense other than that. And, you know, it's fucking deadening. It's cold, man, you know. And so there's a, and it, you know, leads to the first half of the 20th century, if I might add, and that is sort of a, anyway, I won't get into that, but But there's postmodernity starts blowing in, you know, early 1900s, but 1950s, 60s, the beatniks, and suddenly, all of a sudden, the counterculture with Bob Dylan and the Beatles and, you know, the whole counterculture, which is post-rational. It's like rational is deadening. There's something beyond this. And so postmodern is the home. If we talk about the spiritual line of development, and there are several lines of development. In the spiritual line of development, postmodernity is the home of what you're talking about, Zachary, and that's the progressive spiritual. You know, a lot of the Buddhists came here. The Eastern and West met. You know, that was a big part of it. Also, if we look at, you know, culturally, psychedelics and mushrooms and LSD, these drugs created realizations that are real. I mean, they're capital R realizations that you can't unsee, you know. I mean, you stop taking LSD, but you can't unsee what you saw. And you meet Buddhism, and all of a sudden, you were talking about, you know, some people, you know, you get to the point where in, you know, therapeutic postmodern, you know, rational modern, you know, it's either suicide or meditation for some people. And, you know, meditation provides a view and an opening to the world that is, you know, there's just nothing like it. It's breathtaking. And it's at the same caliber and same level of some of the realizations that one has on psychedelics. And so there's this whole new view. And it's you know, one of this is in a little integral theory, but these structures, we're talking about sort of a religious, fundamental, mythic, you know, there's magic, there's mythic, there's rational, and then there's this sort of post-rational, they're this pluralistic. And all of them kind of are existing in our culture right now. And they basically don't like each other. And they don't get each other. And they're mad at each other. And they're politically, you know, at odds with each other. And so there's actually a structure that arises beyond postmodernism. And that's what we call integral. And integral is, you know, they're all radical new emergence into the cosmos. These are novel occurrences into the cosmos. This is still part of the Big Bang story. And so integral comes along, and integral just actually moves from identifying with any of the previous perspectives and starts identifying with the space within which these perspectives are arising. So it can actually accommodate all of the previous perspectives. And so now you have a spiritual life where you want to respect, starting at the beginning, magic. You are not going to be satisfied with a spiritual life that does not re-enchant the world. That is not going to be okay with you as an integral person. And you want a story, you want a myth, you know, not, you know, a myth in the contracted sense, but a myth in that there is actually something happening here. And I am part of it. And I am, in a poetic sense, at the center of it. And I want that. And no spiritual anything is going to satisfy me unless that's part of it. And then I also, as an integralist, I want a spiritual life that doesn't make me dumb myself fucking down. And I want to accommodate all of the scientific and rational and all of the wonderful, you know, explorations that human beings have taken. And I don't want a religion that doesn't accommodate that. And so I insist on that as well. And then I want a spirituality. And this is where the postmodern view is so interesting, because one of the insights and the great moves of postmodernity is that we're very suspicious of stories, and we're very suspicious of worldviews. And we realize that, you know, the rational didn't deliver the world into paradise. The mythic didn't deliver the world into paradise. The magic didn't deliver the world into paradise. And all of them in their day thought that they would. And we realize that none of it works. None of the ways that we thought that it needed to be worked. And so postmodernity has a certain despair to it spiritually. It's not unfruitful. It's actually part of development. We need to get completely disillusioned and disenchanted. That is a developmental move. It's progress. And that's a hard one. It's a hard one. But then as we move past postmodernity into an integral spirituality, it's like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know, I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden, I am not only alive, but I am lit up. The whole world is stage lit. I am the leading man of my own life story that matters. And God loves me and sees me. And it's all true. And oh my God, you know, so it's that kind of thing, you know, that people have. And, you know, what are you going to do with that except, you know, chop wood and carry water, you know, continue to live your life, but in a way where you realize that I am not just living my life, but I am being lived by, you know, mythically, the word would be Almighty God. Rationally, it might be just the way of things or, you know, evolution itself, the erotic arising of evolution towards ever increasing goodness, truth, and beauty. So, you know, this is now I'm getting into territory where, you know, I get lost myself, and that's good, and this is the frothy edge, and this is what we're working on. You know, God bless us all.
Well, I love what you said about what you just said about being lived. It reminds me of the moment I realized in my life that I was being breathed.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely an aha moment. I was somewhere else, but I would love to stay at the frothy edge with you, Jeff, for mm-hmm. a moment. Explain to me your experience. I mean, you've been there, you know, almost since the beginning. I don't exactly know whether it's the beginning or just after the beginning or the actual beginning. But now, after, you know, as many years as you've been with Integral, mm-hmm. how have you found the integration of it? And might I say, you know, for anyone who hasn't heard The Daily Evolver, I really would suggest checking it out, because this is an example of someone who is really integrated. You make it look so easy. Mm-hmm. Looking this lens, you know, and that's clearly the mark of someone who's no longer trying. It's happening. It's being lived.
Mm. Well, bless your heart. And I'm grateful, you know, for the opportunity to talk about what I, you know, I'm experiencing. And, you know, well, first of all, you know, part of it is humbling in the sense that you know, what I realize about myself, and I'll just get very personal here, is that I'm still a fucking mess. I mean, I wake up in the morning some days and I think, fuck you, is my first thought. You know, but here's the difference. I can see, I mean, first of all, when that's happening, I sometimes just continue to be identified with it. I continue to be contracted around that. That may be the way I'll go the whole day, actually. But then what I realize when I do wake up is that I have an option there. And I can actually see that I, Jeff, am not just Jeff. I am angry Jeff. I'm inspired Jeff. I'm friendly Jeff. I'm unfriendly Jeff. I'm, you know, all of those. I mean, there's many ways, and there are many people that are part of this Jeff constellation that I am both in charge of in a way, but also realize that I am riding the winds of Eros. I am riding the winds of karma. You know, I have my genetic karma. I have my memetic karma in the sense that I have these ideas that have been part of my culture and my parents and my teachers and my religion and my, you know, nationality. And, you know, but you begin to see oneself as, and this is the integral move. This is a very important piece of the integral move, at least. And that is that we develop a ever more stable ability to witness ourselves, even when we're in contraction. So I have subpersonalities. I have pieces of myself that go right down to the basement, you know, and this is, I'm using a term of Ken Wilber's, my great teacher. And, you know, he's, you know, great integral theorist. And, you know, this is fine in a way, you know, I mean, what we want is to actually have a view of these parts of ourselves that is more intelligent than the parts themselves. And this is, you know, this is basically, it's not something we create or work our way into. It's something we realize. It's something that we say, oh, my God, I actually have the ability to see myself instead of be myself. That's big. You know, that's one of the great, most profound fruits of meditation is that I can sit here on this cushion and my only job is to witness what's arising. I'm not trying to change it. I'm not trying to interpret it. I'm not trying to explain it away. I'm not trying to, you know, accommodate it. I'm just witnessing it. I don't have a preference. Good feelings, bad feelings, itches, you know, pains, all of it's all just good. You know, we see that it all arises, it passes away, it has a certain life of its own. And so, you know, and this is why, you know, people who are, we talk about integral as being at two levels. You know, there's postmodern, then there's sort of an entry level integral that we would call, that we use colors, and the color we would use is teal, or there's another structure that calls it yellow. Various developmentalists use different terminology for it, but that's the structure that basically is able to hold multiple perspectives in terms of, you know, living in the world. It's able to see that East and West both have their views, and there's a historic and modern view, and, you know, we see the interiors of people and different cultures and all of that good stuff, and we see that there's an evolutionary thing going on, and basically we're able to see meta systems. Systems of systems, you know, that's entry level integral. But then, and what I'm talking about here is the next level of integral, which is basically a spiritual view. And that is that's the realization, capital R, that the whole system is alive. You know, whatever happened since the Big Bang is fucking alive. I'm sorry. And it's alive in terms of consciousness, and it's alive in terms of material, in terms of how, you know, atoms have evolved into, you know, molecules and cells and organisms, but also in terms of consciousness. And, you know, at an integral level of consciousness, we're just, this is all new ground. This is, the frothy edge. We don't make big claims about it. Because we don't fully understand it, but that's part of the fun, is that we are practicing it and engaging in it and making friends, you know, to get back to just the beginning of what I was talking about. When I wake up in the morning, on a good day, I can befriend my fuck you world subpersonality. He's part of me. He actually, to the degree that I can be friendly to him, actually has a power and a juice and a sparkle that I can't get anywhere else. And so this becomes a big jaw-dropping privilege as a practitioner to practice, knowing that there's, you know, you're sort of inventing the game as you go along. So I'll stop there.
No, I want to thank you for sharing that with us. Certainly, I always find that, you know, when we get personal, those are my favorite moments in a way, because it really, there's a certain behind the words feeling of solidarity between all of us who are on this, you know, on this path with our eyes open.
Well, there's a big God bless us all that comes with integral consciousness. There's a big, oh my God, you know, look at us all. You know, there's a heartbreak. Mm. There's a heart, you know, and a broken heart is a beautiful thing. I mean, it's an essential thing, actually. Because it means that we just fucking surrender to the, you know, my first lover just committed suicide, you know. I mean, you know, what are you going to do with this thing? You know, this. We look around, we see the suffering. We see the suffering within ourselves. You know, integral is the first level of consciousness where we don't pretend that everything's okay, actually. Postmodern gets there. Postmodern does actually strike that. Postmodern gets to where everything's not okay. I mean, the big time despair in postmodern. But integral keeps that. Integral maintains that and also sees that actually there's something else going on besides my despair and the fact that none of my ideas turned out to be true. And there's a surrender into that that is, you know, what can you say except that hallelujah, you know, I surrendered into power. I surrendered into life. I surrendered into, you know, emergence itself in my own life, in my relationships, and I see it all around me. And, oh, my God, that's just a new way to live, Zachary, that is, you know, it's fragile, it's tenuous because the grooves haven't been deeply cut yet. This is part of what we're doing as integralists, as conscious practitioners of this, is we're, you know, just working on it. And not trying to explain away our own faults and suffering and, you know, deep wounded imperfection and, you know, shame, you know, all of that stuff. It's all good. It's all online. It's all grist for the mill.
Right. In one of your daily evolvers, you said there was a phrase that just resounded between my ears. It was, you know, and I don't see you necessarily as a spiritual teacher, but this was definitely a phrase that sort of came from that sub personality. It was that, you know, your heart has to break, and it has to stay broken.
Yeah,
and I love that, and that's, I think, for me, that speaks to what you're talking about now.
Yeah, and it's actually in a way a throwback to mythic consciousness. And that is that, you know, if you look at Christianity, if you look at Buddhism, the two, you know, big lineages that I have a deep understanding of, they both require us to surrender. You know, to, you know, the Buddhism sort of, you know, technically, we sort of deconstruct our ego sort of pillar by pillar and, you know, post by post. And it's, you know, sort of that kind of thing. And, you know, Christianity has a more florid, juicy, you know, surrender to God, you know, crucifixion kind of bloody, you know, it's in both of them, but so powerful. And, you know, I haven't even got to Islam and, you know, there are other ways of, you know, experiencing that, but those are all, that's all that mythic level where we get that we're not the most important thing in the world. That's in a sense new. The earlier structure thought it was the most important thing in the world. So, you know, from an integral point of view, we want to reach back and grasp what is the most juicy and valuable thing from each of the previous structures. And from the mythic structure, what we want is that we surrender. that we're obedient. So what does it mean to be obedient when we're post-mythic? You know, obedient to fucking who? What? What story? You know, give me a break. So all of that aside, you know, we're way beyond that. So what are we obedient to at this new structure? Well, that's a good question. I don't exactly know the answer. I that's part of what we're exploring. But I know what it is in a way. I mean, I want to be obedient to life itself. I want to be obedient to my higher sense of who I am and the world is. And I want to challenge my, you know, stories, and I want to challenge my selfish urges, and I want to challenge my ideas of how the world are, and I don't want to be comfortable anywhere. And, you know, this is a practice, you know. And we, you know, we can look at each of the levels and say, what do we want to bring back from that level, from an integral, you know, higher level that sees them all and is friendly with them all? You know, from the magic level, we'll go be, you know, it's magic, mythic, rational, postmodern, we'll call it, you know, just for, there are many ways to look at it, but that's a good one. So, you know, we just talked about mythic, being obedient and, you know, serving and, you know, there's a point in my life. And, but the structure before that is magic, where the whole world, you know, that tree actually is alive. And not only is it alive, I mean, we know scientifically it's alive, but it's intelligent, and it has something to say to me. That's big, you know, that's, you know, give me a break. I mean, that is an amazing practice to walk through nature, and even maybe the city. I do it in nature, but you walk through nature as if you know nothing except that there you are. You know, and you realize in that moment it becomes alive and enchanted and full of magic. So we want that. We don't want the evil spirits. We don't want to be subject to it. All of that, you know, but we do want the enchantment. So we want the enchantment. We want the story, the obedience. And then we want the, you know, we want the jewel precision edge of rationality that says, you know, let's wake up and realize that we could explain this world through observation and experimentation and, you know, categorizing and all of the stuff that we do in rational. And we want that to be online. And then in the post-rational, the postmodern, we want to see that there's a humanity. What postmodern wants to do actually is to go back and rehabilitate all of the people who have been left behind in the previous structure. So it wants, you know, the earlier structure says that in the mythic structure, you're either a saint or a sinner. In the rational structure, you're either a winner or a loser. You know, in postmodern, we want to like bring those people back into the fold. We realize how limiting those earlier structures were. And then in integral, we want to just befriend the whole situation. And then there are structures beyond integral. That's the other thing that I would say about integral consciousness is it's the first level of consciousness that doesn't think that it's the end of the line, that there it actually continues. And so we look at, so what's post-integral? And that's an interesting question because we actually have some idea of what that might be. And what we look at is, so what are the people in that we see in history or in among us who are integral and beyond, you know? I mean, what are the people who actually have integrated magic, mythic, rational, post-rational into a new structure? And, you know, they're... You know, I sort of get speechless here because I think that that's where we're sort of, you know, working and what we're looking at.
I mean, that was definitely on my list of things I wanted to ask you in terms of, you know, being at the cutting edge of integral. What's the edge of the cutting edge? What are you guys intuiting?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you look at the people who are working in the integral world space, as we call it, you know, one of the things that's happening is that, you know, there are people like Andrew Cohen and, you know, Craig Hamilton and Diane Hamilton and different people who are working on the idea of a sort of interpersonal enlightenment or a group enlightenment. And that is where you get a group of people together and you, you know, in the case of Andrew and some others, you know, to build a community and all of the, you know, crapola that comes with that, you know, God bless them, but include me out. Or people who are just, you know, I think of Holacracy and, you know, some of the new business structures that are working, like, for instance, with Holacracy, you have a team meeting in your company or your work group, and you eliminate two things. One is that you're looking for the ideal solution. So you take that off the table. You're not looking for the ideal solution to the problem. You're looking for something that will release some tension in the problem. So that's one thing. And the second thing is that you don't share your opinion about things. So you're not sharing any stories about how you think the world is. You're simply working on what can we do with the problem that is presented that releases the tension a bit. And that is actually, I've been part of it. It's one of the great technologies of interpersonal we spaces, creating we spaces. And it's amazing what happens when human beings get together and consciously set aside their own storylines and their own sense of that we have to find some final state that is workable. And we move into a space where we're free of that. And, you know, it's amazing how just doing that as a practice creates a enlivened, creative, sparkling, inspired group of people, even if it's just for an hour. I mean, there are amazing people doing amazing things. Working, so that's one leading edge. Mm. Now, there are many. I mean, if I may just continue a bit to say that, you know, if you look at Integral, there are people who are integrally identified who, you know, have read the Integral Theorists and, you know, are members of the Integral websites and all of that good stuff. But, you know, it's not about that. I mean, that's a good thing and that helps. But what it's really about is just noticing that all around us, there are people who are just evolving to the point of being able to hold multiple perspectives. And they're not as mad at other people as most people are. And we see that in our families. We see that in our politics. I would argue that Barack Obama is an example of that. And many others, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, you know, many people. I would argue that at the higher ends of any company, government, NGO, nonprofit, if you were actually working in an internationally informed, conscious kind of a environment where you actually are responsible for making something happen and moving the ball, then there are a lot of people who are operating at an integral level where they're just looking for the best possible solution to create the best possible world for not just my people, not just my clan, not just for my nation, but for the whole planet. I mean, it's got to be planetary plus to be integral. You can't be national. You can't be fundamentally nationalistic and be integral. Sorry. But many people, you know, at these higher levels are actually functioning in a way that is just very smart. It's like a very smart grandparent in a way. You know, it's just somebody who sees all the grandkids running around and the kids and, you know, whatever, and everybody's got, you know, everybody's mad and everybody's excited and everybody, but there's still this bigger family and there's this bigger move to make that is the marker of integral consciousness. Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing, and we see it everywhere. And part of our practice needs to be to notice it so that we don't just get, you know, self-involved, and there's this, you know, the center of gravity and this gravitational pull to our own enlightenment, that it becomes, you know, counterproductive. So anyway, I'll stop there.
So these spiritual groups that are forming, and I've sort of, as I've watched it, I've heard, you know, Ken's words echoing in my mind about, you know, just the evolution of atoms forming together, having a little party, and then boom, the molecule. What do you see through your lens in terms of all these different groups? And I'm sure I don't have to name them. You know, anybody who's in the spiritual world probably gets wind of them every so often. You know, Irvin Laszlo just did one recently called The Shift, you know, with Deepak giving a nice little online presentation for it. I mean, are all these groups splitting the electorate? You know, are they splitting the energy? I mean, do you see one rising above the other? How do you see that moving forward? Even with the Wii Space?
It's a good question. You know, it's frustrating to me to, see Deepak in a way, because I don't feel like he either gets or he's not. You know, the evolutionary view is, it has a lot of aspects that are politically incorrect, that are, challenging. And this is the nature of evolution. You know, every new structure challenges the previous one. And I don't know. You know, when I look at the progressive field, I mostly categorize them in sort of a green or postmodern to teal, or, you know, sort of beginning integral. But I don't know, you know, the people who are really lit up by the evolutionary erotic urge, explicitly. And I don't know, you know, you hear me fumbling because I'm sort of, you know, this is part of what I'm trying to figure out myself is, you know, what's going on in the world. I mean, it's all helpful. Here's from an integral perspective, we want every structure to be as healthy as possible. We're not trying to, you know, we have no thought. This is a, you know, postmodern idea that, you know, there's a, in part of progressive spirituality has this idea that the transcendence is upon us. You know, there's going to be a planetary shift and we're all going to wake up. Integral doesn't see it that way. Integral says that each structure is going to continue to evolve to the next structure. And as integralists, we want to have everybody be as healthy and happy at the structure they're at as possible. And so we're not on a big mission to change the world, except to nudge every situation we're in a little bit towards love, you know, a little bit towards, you know, relax. You know, that's what we do, as that's our integral practice. There's no big, you know, end game here. And you know, I don't know. You know, I see Deepak. I love Deepak. I love, the Casey Institute, you know, the teachings of Western spirituality, the teachings of Eastern spirituality, the teachings of, you know, the fundamentalists, as long as it's helping people. You know, fundamentalism is a very important structure of consciousness. It helps people civilize their, you know, more hedonistic impulses. So, you know, every structure has its place, and hedonistic impulses are great progress over the, you know, material depravity of most magic cultures, where they're trying to keep bugs out of their eyes, you know. So it's all good, and we don't want to, you know, aggress on any of it in a way that's counterproductive. I don't know. I get lost here.
Well, I'm right on top of it. I've got a dozen extra questions here. We have about five more minutes, so I want to see if I can just run through a few more.
The lightning round.
The lightning rod, exactly. Okay, so firstly, so just to touch on that, for example, you don't see. I mean, like, you could even throw in, like, you know, I really like I Evolve, what Mark Gaffney's doing with world spirituality, you know, and trying to, you know, link all the brothers and sisters a bit, like the Parliament of World Religions.
You bet.
But so you don't, you see it as, you know, all of it is working. All of it is like a Tetris game of building blocks. But it's it's not so much, because I was wondering, is it a bit like a slinky, where the leading edge is, you know, there's going to be drag and stretch, and maybe the leading edge is going to split the electorate, and more are going to go there, and less are going to, you know, are some going to die out, like, you know, Zarathustraism. You know, I mean, are we going to have another example of that within the New Age? Do they have to pull their boots up? You know, or but you see it more as a building blocks across the board. There are enough people to go around.
Yeah, well, there, you know, that's evolution in action, man. I mean, it's like, you deliver something that is going to take me somewhere, or forget you. And, you know, so, you know, you have to, and that's, as an integralist, we trust that. It's not my job to figure out what's next. It's my job to surrender to what's next. And that is very different. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, Mark, bring on, you know, I Evolve, bring on your best. Andrew, Ken, you know, we're all trying to, you know, move the ball here. And we all know that the ball is about, you know, bringing different lineages together, finding out what's in common, you know, feeling into what actually lights us up. What is, you know, the different people are doing different pieces of this project. And to that, I say hallelujah. So that's the end of that lightning piece.
Do you want to say just a couple of words about the Integral Incubator, which I know is starting in
3 days. It's starting Sunday anyway. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What we do is we bring people together who have a project. You know, a lot of people, you know, when you get to integral consciousness, you are, as I say, you are surrendered. You know, there's something that's grabbed you. There's something that's got you. You have to do it in the best sense of the word, you know, not compulsively, but there's a, you know, calling. And this is, you know, in a way, you know, a certain echo from the traditionalist sense that, you know, God calls me to something. And, you know, it's not a mythic God anymore, and I'm not contracted around a story, but a motherfucker, I got something that I have to do here. And there are a lot of people in that stage of development that have that. It's more of a question than an answer. So, you know, we invite them in to Boulder Integral. We have this old church, and we do a 5-day thing. We start on Sunday for an intro for people who need a remedial integral education, you know, and then for those who do, that's good. And then on Monday, we start with, you know, this time we have 27 people. And, you know, we try to keep it to 20 to 25, but sometimes it gusts higher, and that's fine. And we bring people through a process where they're, you know, basically working with some of what we're talking about, where they look at their project from a sense of their own inspiration. You know, what is their actual calling? They look at the world as it is. You know, is there anybody who actually needs this or wants it? Or, you know, if there is, who are they? How do I relate to them? How do I build a structure that, you know, can actually execute on this? And, you know, I look at my family, first of all. I look at my friends. If I have employees, some people come who they have a small business, or a lot of people come, they're starting, you know, some sort of a consultancy or a blog, or, you know, they have a small business or whatever. You know, we've had people who are working for Fortune 500 and, you know, Wall Street who come. And they're looking for, you know, in 5 days, we try to help them develop and execute on an integral view of their particular project or calling. And so, you know, it's like that. It's we're trying to help people actually get traction on their, you know, mission, their great calling to, you know, generally it's some version of, I have to help people understand, you know, that's, integral consciousness is a lot about owning our own wisdom, and that we have to, take it to the world. It's not enough to just think about it. We have to somehow execute on it in the world. And, oh my God, it's just a privilege to work with these people. And, at the end of the week, it's so fun to see, where they've come.
Well, Jeff, I could keep talking to you for a long time. You brought up a Barack Obama, and I bit my lip not to ask you questions about him. Oh, but I want to just thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me and to all of us. And, I hope at some point perhaps even we can do it again, because I've still got a list here that wasn't even touched.
Indeed. Well, more to come, Zachary. Thanks so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you to everyone listening in. Good night, and we'll see you soon.